This podcast is going to be about LED lights, and the short. And again, it's one of these ones where I wrote extensively about this, and because I've been asked probably 20 times in the last few years. Since putting out the stuff about how bad CFLs are, I think about 20 times people have asked, well, yeah, but what do you think about LEDs? So, is incandescent light still better than LED light? The short answer is yes. And the long answer fills a podcast. Let's get to work.
Right.
All right. I'm gonna read what I wrote. And then we'll go from there, so you guys can take all your notes and stuff. In another thread, Devika asked me for my current opinion on LED light. Now, I just want to, you know, quick note, man, Devika has been adding a lot of cool features to our forum software.
Yeah.
Devika is just awesome, and he's done so much great stuff. He lives in Sri Lanka, and every once in a while, he tells me a story of living in Sri Lanka, and it's like, Sri Lanka sucks. I mean, when I try to Google Sri Lanka, there's like all these beautiful pictures of beautiful things. But when I hear the stories from Devika, it's like, man, you know, and of course, in this day and age, I mean, it used to be like 100 years ago, I'd be like, Sri Lanka sucks. I think I'll go live somewhere else. And now I don't think people are allowed to move unless you're a millionaire or something. Make $1 million and you can go live wherever you want. But without $1 million, no. You got to stay where you were born.
Devika's awesome, though.
Devika is amazing. And so he very rarely asks any questions about Permies. And so he's from the Code Ranch staff. And
right.
And so, but he loves Permies, and so he comes over and loves on us fairly regularly. And he once asked some questions about horticultural stuff, but he's in like a tropical area. There's so much, it's so different there. I'm not qualified to answer his questions, and so hopefully he got lots of great answers. All right, so he asked, and about LED lights, and so the short answer is that I think I'm going to prove very conclusively that LED lights still suck. And so I think almost everybody listening to this is going to be absolutely sure that LED lights are better than incandescent. And I think the world felt that way about CFLs. And then I put out my CFL video, and it seems like the world came around really fast. So I don't plan on putting out an LED video anytime soon, and it seems like no one will believe it unless it's in a video form. But I'm going to just make do with a podcast, I suppose, and with the article I wrote, which usually doesn't mean shit. All right. I've already written extensively about how awful CFLs are, and I think that I have proven that they are awful in a long list of ways. So we can skip past that disaster. I thought I'd already shared my thoughts on LED lights several years ago, but I couldn't seem to find that. As part of my campaign against CFLs, I pointed out the massive subsidies. I suspect that they were getting subsidies from dozens of different government offices that didn't know about the subsidies coming from all of the other offices. So when we would spend $3 for a light bulb, I suspect that some company was clearing $20 profit per bulb for a bulb that was $12 to our shores. I suspect that those same folks are optimizing those paths to get $50 profit per bulb for LED lights. This would explain why light bulb companies have lobbied so hard to have the incandescent light banned. Yes, just to be clear, light bulb companies lobbied to have their own product banned. I feel like this is a lot of wickedness, and I don't want to support this wickedness, so I'm already anti-LED. But wait, there's more. So to express my position on LED lights, I need to share two short videos on CFLs. Okay, so then I share my two videos. The Mr. Stinky Pants video, which is more about the subsidies as well as the Phoebus cartel.
Right.
And then there's that 10-minute long video where I actually perform a variety of tests on the bulbs, and I talk about how CFLs are toxic during their manufacture, toxic during their use, and toxic after their disposal. All right. If you're trying to save energy and you're still using a clothes dryer, then you really should not be exploring which light bulb saves the most energy. Heating and cooling use more energy, so those should be explored first. Another angle. If you really think picking out which light bulb to use will save you that much energy, there's a very good chance that exploring your lighting habits will save you far more energy, which is money, than trying LED. And I say, here is my thread on lighting tips. So I'm giving advice on how to appropriately use lighting, so that way it saves you energy. When I made my CFL videos, I was living by myself. I calculated that I spent $8 per year on electricity for light. Yes, that is per year and not per month. $8 per year. And all of my light was incandescent. So if we're exploring saving energy, I think the first step is to explore your lighting habits and then move on to explore many other energy pigs in your home. It seems utterly bizarre to me how, when we talk about saving energy, people seem to always want to talk about light bulbs before heat, air conditioning, the clothes dryer, hot water, many things that suck up far more power than light bulbs. And people also want to talk about which kind of bulb to buy instead of what are good habits that most people seem utterly ignorant of. Next up, incandescent light has two big properties: high quality light plus radiant heat. Radiant heat, when pointed at a person, is more efficient than convective heat, which is the most common way that people heat a home. I live in Montana, and when it gets cold outside, the days happen to get much shorter. So when I need more light, I happen to also need more heat, a twofer. All right. Let's talk about quality of light. LED lights have come a long ways on this path. There have been some folks on YouTube that have done spectral analysis on a variety of LED bulbs and have found some that do a very good job of emulating a full spectrum or emulating the sun. The person doing the analysis claimed that this was the ultimate test, that this is complete proof that a good LED light provides as good of light or better than incandescent. I confess that this is compelling, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. After all, I think you could do something similar with fluorescent lights, but that test would not take into account the flicker. And I still wonder about other elements revolving around the quality of light we do not yet know. Incandescent light has a long, rich history of providing high quality light. LED light has a long, rich history of saying that LED light quality is better. And it turns out that the comparison was to LED light from a couple of years before, which was awful. So better meant worse than incandescent, but better than earlier attempts. I do think that the quality of light from an LED might now be as good as incandescent. Now, don't get excited, because we've got more information coming that's going to say, nuh-uh. All right, but this is what I wrote originally. My spidey sense says that it's probably not as good for reasons we have yet to figure out. I look forward to seeing what we learn over the next 10 years. Overall, I think that a good LED light probably now has light quality that is really close to the light quality of a standard incandescent. So here are my quality scores at the time of this writing. Natural daylight, 10. Natural daylight behind glass, 9. Incandescent light. 8. Really good LED light. 7.9. Average LED light. 6. On the point of longevity. The challenge here is the Phoebus cartel from 1924, where the light bulb manufacturers artificially shortened the lifespan of light bulbs in order to sell more light bulbs. There are a few manufacturers coming out with long life incandescents, but I think a lot of innovation in this space has been curbed by the incandescent being banned. There were a lot of CFLs labeled as lasting 12,000 hours, which oftentimes didn't make it past 200 hours. So, the most notable was in the tests I did, where one made it 72 hours before it died. So it naturally makes one suspicious of whatever is written on the box of a light bulb. That said, I do think that LED lights do, generally, have an authentic long lifespan. I have that test still running that has a long life incandescent rated at 5,000 hours and an LED rated at 10,000 hours. So far, they have both had on time of over 8,000 hours. So, I just want to reiterate this one little point. So, the long life incandescent is rated for 5,000 hours, but it's already been on for 8,000. It's still going. The LED is rated at 10,000 hours, and since we're now at 8,000 hours, we're getting close to its expiration date. So I think, you know, that's going to be a little bit of an interesting thing to see how that turns out. Let's not forget the centennial bulb, which has been burning for more than a million hours. And that's an incandescent light bulb. I think it's possible that we can see both LED and incandescent bulbs constructed in such a way that they can last 20 years or more. So I think the longevity race is a bit of a wash. And something I've brought up in this podcast a couple of times is something that Ernie told me like 9 years ago. And it's this whole thing about when he was in the Navy, they had a light bulb repair kit. And so then you would... if a light bulb was burnt out, there was a way to open it up and replace the filament, put it back together, and then you had this pump that you would run on it that would suck all the air out of it. So it'd be a vacuum inside, and then the light bulb would be repaired. And so it's kind of like, wow, that's kind of cool. What if you could have, I mean, we want to talk about longevity of a light bulb. That might be a rather amazing thing. Now, I imagine there's going to be other downsides to it, but I've looked 5 times on the internet and I can't find a spec about it other than me trying to relate the story.
You find yourself.
I just find me yourself. Asking about it. That's all I find. But it would be great to find some examples of this stuff. And I have found some stuff about some seriously old light bulbs, but not this stuff that Ernie talked about. Toxicity. There are 3 important phases to toxicity to explore. 1 is the manufacture, 2 during its use, and 3 is disposal. In my previous writing, podcasts, videos, I think I made an extremely strong case on how CFLs are a freak show disaster in all 3 of these. I think the story on incandescent light is pretty straightforward. There isn't much to it. So while I think there is toxicity in the manufacture and disposal, it is really small. And it has a magnificent track record for during its use. So let's explore the LED. Take a look at the innards. And so then I post some pictures of what the inside of an LED light bulb looks like. And so it's got a lot of electronics in there. You're going to see some capacitors and some resistors and, you know, a variety of different little bits and bobs, electronics. So maybe 100 times more sophisticated. The average weight might be 100 times greater. Far more diversity in materials, highly toxic materials. So I'm going to speculate that the toxicity during the manufacture is about half that of a CFL, but still 100 times greater than an incandescent. And I'm going to further speculate that the time can be said the same can be said for the disposal. So I'm going to guess that a CFL is twice as toxic in disposal as an LED. Take a look at this excellent documentary, The Age of Stupid, and pay attention to the part of how our electronics are recycled. I couldn't find a time point in that. Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie, but here is the sort of thing I wish to share. So I posted a video of where when we recycle our electronics, they get put onto a boat and they get shipped over to Africa. And then mountains of these electronics are created. They're just dumped. And then these kids go up and they grab bunches of the electronics and then they set them on fire. And then that causes the certain valuable metals to melt and form, I don't know, different colored puddles or something. And then there's like a recycle station that will accept the metals. And so then these kids will burn a pile a couple of times a day, extract all of the metals and take them over to this thing where this guy will buy the raw metals. Extremely toxic. I mean, it looks terrible. And apparently, when the kids show up to do this, their lifespan is now limited by about 4 years, 4 to 6 years for the time that they're doing this. So whereas they could live, I mean, it looks like a lot of them are like 10 or 12, and it sounded like none of them will make it to 20. And their lifespan is pretty brief. So the point is that A, most people, 98% ? Are just going to throw this stuff away, so it goes to landfills. B, if they actually recycle an LED bulb, that might actually be worse. I don't know this for a fact, but I think that if you have DC power, then the electronics for LED is far, far simpler. I'm trying to do a core dump really quick of my opinion. So rather than look into this, rather than look this bit up, maybe somebody would be so kind as to educate me. The summary is that if you wish to compare LED to CFL, LED is much better. But if you wish to compare LED to incandescent, now I've done my little list again. Natural daylight, 10. Natural daylight behind glass, 9.5. Incandescent light, 9. DC LED light, 8.5. AC LED light, 1.8. All right, since this is a podcast and it's an audio thing, I'm just going to buzz through that list one more time. Natural daylight, 10. Natural daylight behind glass, 9.5. Incandescent light, 9. DC LED light, 8.5. AC LED light, 1.8. And that's because of the electronics. So we're talking about the toxicity. How toxic is it? And I think it's, you know, all those electronics are going to require a lot of toxicity during their manufacture and a lot of toxicity during their disposal. Energy savings. Now, this is the one that's going to be the really big one. But I've got a surprise for you in it. And I think this is where a lot of people are very shocked, pissed, whatever. In general, an LED light produces about 4 times more light per watt. Unlike CFLs, it really does produce 4 times more light per watt. The amount of light it gives off in the first 30 seconds is the same as the amount of light it gives off 10 minutes in, just like incandescent. Unlike CFLs, the amount of light it gives off 5 years later is the same as when it was brand new. I would like to talk about total energy cost, which would include the amount of energy used during the manufacture. But those numbers are all skewed by subsidies. So, on the one hand, we have the incandescent bulb, which is being outlawed and given an artificially short lifespan for the sake of wickedness. This is driving up the cost of the incandescent. And on the other hand, we have the LED, which is being subsidized for the sake of wickedness. So this whole area gets really complicated really fast. So I'm going to speculate that there's about $10 worth of energy in creating the LED and about 10 cents in the incandescent. So I'm going to say that both bulbs will last 10,000 hours and electricity is a dime per kilowatt. 100 watts for 10,000 hours is 1,000 kilowatt hours. $100.10 worth of electricity for the incandescent and $35 for the LED. A strong win for the LED. But wait! Consider the bit about a Montana winter. In the scenario of cold climate area and the lighting is in winter and a party is using electric heat, then using incandescent light will pay for itself by not only reducing your heat bill, but if used correctly, the light bulb can actually reverse your heat bill. Proper use of an incandescent light bulb can save hundreds of dollars per year, maybe even thousands. In fact, for any type of heat, proper use of an incandescent light bulb can dramatically reduce your overall heat bill. And whatever you use for heat is going to use far more energy than what you use for light. In other words, if you are using incandescent lights willy-nilly about your house, thinking only of light without a thought in the world of using them in an intelligent way, and you are in a cold climate, then the electricity is free. Because if you turn all of your lights on, your thermostat will then tell your heater to come on more. Wait, did I read this right? Because if you turn all of your lights off, your thermostat will then tell your heater to come on more. It will be almost exactly the same amount of electricity. So all of your lighting will then be totally free, but only on cold days and only if you're using electric heat. So if you can assume that your incandescent lights will never burn out, Then in the middle of the winter, it is free to run dozens of light bulbs and make it super bright throughout your house. But I can do better than free. This video is the centerpiece to my article, How I Saved 87% on My Electric Heat Bill. So I'm sure both of you guys have seen that video that I have. Yeah. Okay. So it's got a woman. It's got, she's sitting at my desk and I've got, a 40 watt incandescent bulb pointed at her head and then a heated keyboard, a heated mouse, and her feet are on a dog bed heater. And there's a thermometer there and it says 50. And so then we ask her, and she's not wearing like, you know, many, many layers of clothes. She's dressed lightly and she says that she's comfortable. And, but anyway, I spent a lot to do these experiments, and I think that the video, as well as the rest of the document that I have, I think is extremely profound. Please note how the star of this show is a 40 watt incandescent light bulb. So in this case, four micro heaters cut about $900 off of the bill one winter. So if you live in a warm climate, LED light is a 10, incandescent light is a 3. If you live in a cold climate, incandescent light used intelligently is a 10, incandescent light is a 5, LED light is a 1. Now that's for energy savings. Environmental impact. If a person lives in a cold climate, there is no contest. Incandescent is better. If a person lives in a warm climate, you have to wrestle with your own values to trade the toxicity of manufacture and disposal with energy savings. My summary. I like the idea of off-grid living where I am warm in a wolfati. Maybe there could be some passive solar and or a rocket mass heater. I think that where I will work during winter nights would have an incandescent bulb powered by off-grid power. And if I'm going to read a book, I'm going to have a reading lamp near the book that is incandescent. But it is possible that I might use a 12-volt high-quality LED, provided that I can look to the innards a bit and confirm that it has much less going on in there than most LED light bulbs. I have some great LED flashlights and a couple of LED nightlights. I think LED has come a long ways in the last 5 years, and things are looking promising. I'm excited about what the future might bring. I hope that we eliminate all light bulb subsidies so our future discussions can be a bit more direct. So, Devika, you asked a simple question. I've tried to provide a brief answer. I really do have a lot more to say about all of this, but I tried to keep it short. All right. Then I added one comment a little later below. Lots of discussion on the thread. Many people found traction right away. A few had their shit so shaken that they had to grasp onto tidbits and not and say, not true, because blah, blah, blah. And I think we proved rather conclusively that this is all very, very solid. A lot of information was presented to support the concerns about quality of light. Oh, Jocelyn provided a link showing a fair bit of research on the value of near-infrared light and how LED apparently has a tough time producing that efficiently. Right. So it sounds like, and so then you presented some stuff and somebody else presented a bunch of stuff, and it was a lot of, and a lot of people were like, well, that's not proof. And it's like, it says right in it that they're speculating and that they're seeing some early results, and stuff is starting to show that this near infrared light has a lot of health benefit, and that the LED lights, like when they try to produce the near infrared light, that you end up getting to the point where the cost of energy per watt is about the same as incandescent, and so they do a poor job. And I think that the reason why incandescent lights put out so much heat is I think that there's probably quite a bit in the infrared spectrum,
right,
which is what gives us all that heat.
Yeah. Well, it's a funny thing because people for years have said they couldn't stand, they just didn't feel right under CFL light, the fluorescent light. And I think there are other people, it's not as extreme, but they still don't feel right with LED lighting. I have a friend that when she travels, she actually packs an incandescent light bulb to put it in the lamp at the hotel room or wherever she's staying, because so often there are other types of light that she just gives her headaches or she just doesn't feel well. And it's very subjective, very anecdotal, but these kind of things are important to pay attention to, you know, the infrared light. They were talking about retinal damage if you don't get enough, or, you know, there's some serious issues with our lighting and how it impacts our health, which is interesting to me. I had a couple other thoughts too, but I didn't know. Fred, did you have something?
Real quick, I want to add that I've had, I think, a dozen people tell me exactly what you told me about your friend,
yeah,
that they travel with an incandescent light, and when they get to a hotel, the first thing they do is replace the light bulb. And then, of course, they swap it back when they either go home or move on to the next destination.
Right.
So this is, I mean, it's such a common thing. And I imagine that for these people, I mean, a lot of people might point at them and say, you're nuts.
Right.
But for these people, it's like, I mean, they don't want to appear nuts and they don't want to pack a fucking light bulb. But it's turned out to be something that's so important to them and their general health that these are the lengths that they go to.
Their comfort level and their enjoyment. They just find out they have a better trip if they have better lighting. But I think the 100, you know, the 4 times more light per watt made me think of a lot of what you're really good at is creating more focused task lights. And that those focused task lights don't need to be 100 watts, or you don't need to flood the entire room with all of these 100, 200 watt things. And I think that's some of the lighting use you're alluding to. You know, are you turning off your lights? Are you, you know, flooding the whole house with all of these, you know, floodlights that are so many watts? You know, then you might be spending more than $8 a year on your lighting. And I kind of wonder, you know, if you just switching from 100 watt bulbs to 40 watt bulbs, how much that would save as opposed to switching from 100 watt bulbs to CFL or LED. And a lot of people in the thread were talking about they're living in an RV or they're living off grid or whatever, and they wouldn't have enough battery life for all of their stuff and without using LEDs. And I kind of wonder if they were trying to use, and I don't know, you know, trying to use 100 watt lighting or leave all the lights on instead of just using a task light, and whether they would have better battery life with still using incandescents, but different wattage, different use.
So to try and describe what you're saying when you say task light, then one of the things that I do is like I have a swinging arm lamp at my desk, and it kind of is at a height where like in the summertime I push it up a little bit, so it's about 6 inches higher than my head and kind of more over my keyboard. And then during the winter I bring it a little closer and my bald spot then feels warmer. But the idea is to have a single light where you need it. And I've been to homes where they have this amazingly large living room and they have 18 light bulbs. And then they turn the lights on and it's like this room is more about being a showpiece than people tend to live in the kitchen or in the kitchen table. But then this room remains illuminated all evening and nobody's in there. And that's just what you do when you come home. You turn on all the lights in your house, and they've got so many lights, so very many. And then they have to, like, it'll be a hot climate, and then they got to use something other than incandescents because it just heats the room. They put so much heat in the room to do that. So, but I think that there's like lists. I mean, the most obvious way to save energy is a technique I like to call turn off the fucking lights.
Right.
And I don't know how many times I've been to some place where it's where I live down in Stevensville, there was somebody who had kind of like a little shed space. It was like a carport-like space, but they had a boat parked in there. I never saw a human being in there with the boat. But maybe the boat was afraid of the dark, and they had a 100 watt light bulb out there, and they just left it on 24/7. So even during the day, then that boat got its friend the light bulb still going. 24/7, that 100 watt light bulb went. Now, if they just put in like one of those little motion sensor things that would only turn the light on when it was dark, then I would bet that they would save a lot of money each year. On lighting, but I see oodles. In fact, there's a lot of places in the country where they've got a pole in, you know, somewhere, and then there's an extremely bright light at the end of that pole. And that's got to be some huge expense per month to just, because those lights, they just leave them on all day and night. And so that's going to be a pretty big expense. But anyway, there's lots of little things that you can do that'll save a lot on lighting. And I kind of think, like, instead of leaving the hallway lights on 24 hours, you could put in a couple of night lights down there. And we've just got a couple of night lights recently that have an interesting experimental feature. I'm not sure how good they are just yet. They seem more annoying than anything else. But they have a light sensor and a motion sensor, and it's kind of like those outdoor lights where they'll only turn on if it's nighttime and only if somebody walks by. And so far, it seems like they'll only turn on after I've already walked by. and then on top of that, they think during the day it's a good time to turn lights too. So I don't know if it needs to be adjusted or what, but it's worth experimenting and finding something that actually works in that space, I think, is a very smart thing. All right, Fred, what do you got?
The only things I have is that for biking or camping, the LEDs are definitely the better choice. They're just brighter for and longer battery life, but for inside a house, you know, they're not, the advantage goes away.
I agree. I think, as I mentioned my thing, I've got some lovely flashlights that are LED, and I do think that's the way to go. I mean, I'm not going to study by them. I'm not going to read a book by them. I'm not going to work on something by them. I'm not going to, like, down at the shop, all of our lights are incandescent. And at the same time, if you're outside, it's not like you're going to harvest much of the heat. Although if you do have an incandescent light and it's a cold day, that's going to feel really nice. So then you're shining the light onto yourself, which is, you know, probably not the best use of energy.
Well, isn't there a difference too between those are simpler LED lights. They're not as full of all the electronics to try and create a light bulb. Isn't there something to that? Aren't they simpler? The LED lights in, you know, headlamps and flashlights and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're not trying to mimic the color quality of an incandescent.
Right.
And most of them don't need a heat sink, which, you know, if you have a LED light bulb that you're just putting into a lamp or something, they usually have, like, the most of the weight is the heatsink attached to all the electronics.
Which, yeah. I think it's kind of funny because the complaint of incandescent light is that 90-some% is heat, suggesting that, you know, like an LED doesn't put out anything as heat because it's so efficient. But no, it does. And yeah, they need to have all those heat sinks because they can't function at that higher temperature like an incandescent can.
If you have like a really high powered LED flashlight that's like 250 lumens or something, like you can only use it intermittently or else it will overheat and it'll burn itself out. Like,
wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, or unless it has like some kind of heat sink on it, which most of them don't.
Yeah, they're simpler things. So I think those types of LED lights, like you said, you're not going to be reading with them or trying to light a room with them. They're simpler electronics and a different purpose. So makes sense.
So I wrote this thread a few months ago. There were a lot of replies. I'm really sure I read every single reply, but I can't remember if anybody validated the whole thing. Because I agree. I think maybe somebody validated it. I hope. And I just can't remember it right now. But I think that the electronics for a DC system is much less than for an AC system, I think. And I mean, if nothing else, it's like when you do LED Christmas lights, there's not exactly a lot of space to put a lot of electronics.
Right.
So I wish I had an answer to this locked into my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to backtrack and clarify is sometimes when you're using terms like convective, radiant, conductive, I mean, I didn't really understand what convective meant for eons because I didn't have a convective stove. What does that mean? and it ends up being kind of a gobbledygook term for some people who are not well versed in this kind of thing. So most homes are heated with a furnace that blows air through ducting, right?
Heated air.
Yes, heated air. Or they have baseboard heaters, which again, the heat billows through the air, or a radiator, or even a regular wood stove. These all, the goal is convective heat, which means it's to heat the air. And that air, once the air is heated, it will heat you. Whereas radiant heat is where you actually feel the heat waves off of an item, right? Is that how you describe radiant heat? That's lousy.
That is it. That is it. And it's like on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you feel a wave, and the rest of the week, you feel a particle. and so that's how it was taught to us in physics class. it's radiant heat is going to be like radiation. And so, like the sun, the sun is radiant heat. The part of you that's facing the sun is warmed. The part of you that's not facing the sun is not warmed.
Yeah.
Same thing with a campfire. When you're facing whatever's facing the campfire feels the heat. But then when you're in a house and then all the air has been heated, then the luxuriant part of that is that you feel heat all around.
Right.
But now if you're standing somewhere and you have three light bulbs pointed at you, then the air temperature might be 40 and you might be buck naked, but you feel like it's 70 because you've got this radiant heat in all directions. And then the amount of energy to make you feel warm will be a tiny fraction of that to heat all the air in the room, whether, you know, you're being warmed by that air or not.
Yeah. I just thought it was worth revisiting those terms. And then, of course, we also talk about the conductive heat of the mass of the rocket mass heaters, which means, you know, you're touching whatever's warm, and that makes you warm.
Which is the most efficient form of heat. So, for example, you might have a teeny tiny light bulb, in your hand, and that'll warm your hand a lot. And let's pretend for a minute that you had a suit that you wore that had little tiny bits of heat. It's plausible that for maybe 40 watts, you could be warm at a temperature of 32 degrees Fahrenheit, freezing. You might be perfectly warm with, you know, 40 watts of heat, because it's touching you and it's that conductive heat. Now, I do think that conductive heat, I mean, I think the convective heat, the air heat, is a fairly luxuriant form of heat, although radiant heat has its benefits as well. But the most luxuriant form of heat by far is conductive heat. So a lot of people want to get the floors where the floors are heated.
Yeah.
And then they walk around barefoot and it's like, oh, that is so delicious. And it's the same thing with a rocket mass heater. When you put your butt onto the bench of a rocket mass heater, it's like, oh, that is so delicious.
It's like a cat or dog at the hearth.
Yeah.
It works in reverse, too, in the summer if you're walking barefoot on, one of some high-mass floor. It feels a lot cooler than if it was like a wood floor.
Yeah, because there'll be a cold sink. Yeah.
And then, of course,
your heat is being conducted away.
If there's a rocket mass heater that hasn't been fired in months, and you go and you sit down on it, it feels nice and cool. It feels delicious.
Yeah. So I just wanted to cover those and, you know, just help people understand, you know, having the radiant heat from a light bulb very close to your head does help, or over your hands as they're writing or using a keyboard and stuff.
So, it helps dramatically.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it feels wonderful.
Yeah, radiant heat is very different. You just don't. It's gentler. Like if you try and have the same warmth from blowing hot air at you, it's never as comfortable. It's noisy, and it's either too hot or too cold, and it never feels the same amount of just lovely warmth. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to revisit that.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm out in the office, instead of firing up the rocket mass heater in there, I'll just point a light at my hand that's on the mouse.
See, now it gets tricky, though, because where you put that light can make a lot of difference in, like, your visual comfort on whatever it is you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so when I did the 87% off of my electric heat bill, one of the earlier variations I did is I had... these reptile heaters, which I still have. They're around here somewhere.
Yeah, I found them in the box truck.
Okay, they're in the box truck. All right. I would point those in my hand, but then they wouldn't blind me. I wouldn't be looking into the light as I'm trying to work. And those were incredibly luxuriant and wonderful. And at the same time, not as efficient as the heated keyboard and mouse. But, I mean, basically, I think all that testing that I did that winter, I proved a lot of shit. And I think I've opened the door up to, like, here's a whole world of stuff that we can do to save energy. That includes the star of the program is the incandescent light bulb, which has been banned. Right. Now, you can still buy them, even though they're banned. And it's kind of funny. The year that the ban was going into place, there was a lot of backlash from people that, you know, were like, you can have my light bulbs and you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. So there was a lot of that kind of mentality. And so what they did was is that they passed the law to ban them, but they defunded the Office of Enforcement for now.
Right.
And then you got to keep in mind, the whole function of them being banned is to serve the light bulb company, because they make so much more money on LED lights than they make on incandescent lights. So if they can ban those fucking incandescents, they can make a lot more money.
Yeah, along those lines of the planned obsolescence, and I don't know if it's related to the Phoebus cartel still, but it seems like when my roommate in Minnesota first bought an LED light bulb, it was like 50 or 70,000 hours lifespan, and now when you look at them, they're like 10,000 hour lifespan.
Huh.
And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's related to the improved color quality, maybe these new LED colors only last a certain amount of time, but I think, you know, I think they're just making, they're like, oh, well, we want to sell more bulbs.
Right.
I think that's a good point to be curious about.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's kind of funny because I think that like 50 years ago, people were a bit smarter about the light that they would use. In each room, there would be one, maybe two lights. And now we're getting to the point where people have dozens of lights in each room.
Right. Well, I'm even looking at the lights, you know, can lights in the ceiling of a kitchen and
so
really, like that.
What we should do here in the kitchen is to have something that's suspended from the ceiling. And that could even be something where it would add shelf space that we could use. Mm-hmm. And then the lights would be mounted to the bottom of that. So that way you'd have a lot more light on your workspace, and you would probably use half the wattage. And then for all each of the counter spaces where you might possibly work, they would have lights that are mounted underneath the cabinets to illuminate the space, rather than something that is, you know, mounted on the ceiling.
Flooding the whole area not very effectively, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as that shelf was high enough for you, for your head.
that's true.
Then it might still be pretty high compared to some of the people around here.
So,
yeah, I mean, one thing about, like you mentioned, the house with the 18 lights in the living room or whatever, most modern homes, all of those lights are going to be on one switch. So they can't do some lights. You know, like there's a... You know, there's 10 light bulbs above your bathroom sink or something. It, you know, usually what I end up doing if I'm in one of those houses for a while is unscrew, you know, 9 of the light bulbs.
Right.
Well, now, like if you go down to the shop, in fact, in the office and in the shop, they were filled to the gills with fluorescent light bulbs. One of the very first things we did when we arrived here was remove all those fluorescent light bulbs. I think we gave the ballasts and the bulbs to somebody that, you know, was like, I'll use them, and it's fine. Go ahead, take them. So, but now what we have is first you go in and it's like you've walked into the shop and you go and you turn on the lights, and what do you get?
Task lights.
Some LED lights. There's LED Christmas lights mounted way up
high. In the shop.
You get enough light to be able to walk around. Mm-hmm. And then if you fish a little bit farther, you can start turning on the other lights. Now, we haven't, the office has still got like terrible lighting because, I mean, the whole building is half built. It really needs to be finished. It needs a ceiling is what it needs. And I think that the design needs to be that when you go to a door and you flip on a light switch, you get just enough light to be able to move around, to be able to get from point A to point B without tripping over anything. And then if you get further in and then you get to a moment where it's like, I need to illuminate the whole room, then there can be another light switch that's like inside the room, not next to the door, that you can flip and turn on, and then you get very bright light everywhere. Or you just never touch that light and you have task lights, mm-hmm. for you know, something that's really close and personal. I think that's a smart way to go.
Well, and going back to the wattage for a task light, like if you have all these lights up on the ceiling or all around a room, you know, yeah, if you want a light where you're at from across the room, 100, 150, or 200 watts might be needed. But if it's just something right where you are, or if you're trying to read with something that bright, it's too bright. You know, you have to angle it and have the, I don't know. So when you're using it more focused and more smart, you don't need that kind of wattage. It's just, makes a big difference, I think.
I think so too. I think you can, you know, if you just illuminate where you're working, it uses like less than a tenth of the light and thus less energy than if you're trying to, you know, illuminate the entire room with LED lights. And so then in which case you're saving far more energy by just simply being smart. Now, one quick note is that there was an office I was in a long time ago that was designed to be energy efficient. And so whenever you would walk into somebody's office, they would have two light switches rather than just one. And the first light switch would turn on a 50-watt light bulb, and then the second light switch would turn on two more. So there's a total of three light bulbs. And so if you turn both switches on, then you've got all three light bulbs. So then you can kind of have three different levels of light and you pick which one is the one that's, you know, right for you. And so, but I think a lot of people in that office would just use the first switch. They would have the least light. And that was sufficient for them for the work that they were doing. All right. What else we got? Anything?
Nope.
I think we've talked about light bulbs long enough.
Awesome!
Wait. Oh. One other thing is that people should check out your Patreon if they want to support this kind of kind of info getting spread around.
All right. Good. So what's the address? Do you remember?
Patreon.com/Paul Wheaton, is it?
That is it. That is it. And so a lot of people are trying really hard to get my Patreon numbers up. And to inspire me to make more podcasts and more videos. And wow, there's a lot of people pushing. And yet, there's a lot of people pushing, but there's not very many people actually supporting it. I just sent you guys a list of things we might podcast about in the next few days. And I know you've got a list, Jocelyn, you've got a list of questions that people...
From years ago.
Yeah, when you broke your arm.
Yeah, broke my wrist. Well, we decided to make Sunday walk podcasts and I slipped on the ice in January and Paul was still podcasting. She's down. She's not getting up. And I'm giving him the cut sign of my throat. Cut, cut.
Why are you sitting on the ground?
Yeah.
I thought you wanted to go for a walk and there you are sitting on the ground.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was a stupid little fall. And yeah, we had lots of questions that people wanted to hear us talk about way back then, and I still have notes on all of those.
And just to be clear, you broke your arm near your wrist. You didn't break your wrist, though. Because I spent a lot of time while you were in pain and drugged up and whatever else. I was looking at all the x-rays and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to get technical.
So, yeah.
But it was such a stupid little fall when he finally turned the microphone off, he didn't think my wrist was broken until I pulled my sleeve back. And then he said, I'll get the car.
Yeah. I could walk all the way back and go get that damn car. We were going to record a podcast and I'm just walking in the middle of nowhere. All right. If you like this sort of thing, come on out to the forums at permies.com where we talk about light bulbs, homesteading, and permaculture all the time.